Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka. All right, so yesterday we were actually having this conversation about the difference and the origins of the following two definitions, a cynic and a skeptic. Because I think different people have different connotations in their minds when it comes to both of them. Like, I know there's whole schools of thought behind these two words, but when I think of skeptic, I think of someone who doesn't take things for granted, does his research. Is that how you look at it as well?
Yeah, no, so for sure. I suppose a skeptic has a more positive connotation, but at times a skeptic can have a negative connotation.
Right, when it's a very emotional story and then you're just skeptical about it, it's like, oh, come on.
Actually, no, I was thinking skepticism being negative in terms of that the danger of skepticism is that you can never come to any sort of workable conclusion if skepticism is the only lens that you look at the world.
Right, if it's the only lens, very good, yeah. But then we spoke about cynicism, and that has an even worse connotation, because cynicism isn't just, in my mind, isn't just I am going to do my research and I'm going to look things up, and I'm not going to take your word as gospel. It's, I'm kind of expecting it to be wrong and bad.
So, yeah, it's interesting because the word cynicism has evolved in time. A skeptic, the connotation, I think, has remained consistent. It refers to someone who doesn't take things at face value. A cynic, on the other hand, was also a philosophy in ancient Greece. They were cynics, but they weren't bad people.
What was their thing?
Well, their thing was, actually it's a bit inappropriate, but they used to do bizarre things in public. Bizarre things in public to sort of slap society and say they're not fitting into societal norms because, well, they didn't think it was...
It's all just made up type of thing?
Right, but there was a certain construct that they were sort of holding up in front of society, mm-hmm. to show society that, for example, the classical story of the cynic would be there was a man called Diogenes who would go around the marketplace and people would say, what are you looking for? And he said, I was looking for an honest man. Now, you can see how that makes everybody feel.
Right. Okay. So, but a cynic, if you want to distill those stories, is somebody who, by default, is going to give it to the system, show it to the system.
In the most positive sense of the word, and just for people who are listening, we are going to Jewify this at some point.
Okay. So to recap, the words, the definitions we're going to be using is skeptic, not taking things at face value intellectually. Cynic is also not taking things at face value, but kind of with an underlying, yeah, this is all just kind of...
You could say that it's all sort of...
It's all just constructed and it's all just not real.
So the term cynic, as I said, evolved to be a criticism against a certain group of people.
Like, don't be so cynical.
For example, a cynic is a person who sort of points at something else someone else is doing and sort of gives it a caricature.
Yeah, makes light of it, makes nothing of it.
But they themselves don't do any better.
Fair, they might say, yeah, I'm also nothing. But yeah.
No, but for example, a cynic is the type of person who you imagine critiquing everybody, but he's not coming up with any better solutions. He's just being a cynic.
Fair, okay.
So even though I think originally perhaps it had a very good connotation, it had someone who would stick it to society, I think it's evolved to mean more of the type of person who is critical, unnecessarily critical, but hasn't got anything better to put on the table.
Very well said, yes. And now within Judaism...
So to draw into, as we were discussing, the way that this came up was in reference to Korach. Came up in reference to Korach because Korach was, at least the way Chazal describe him, as a classic cynic.
Well, let's just talk about the story for just a second for people who aren't in the Parsha. Korach was one of Moshe's family, but not closely related, like in his extended family.
Yeah.
And he wanted some of that... leadership, and he didn't think it was fair that Moshe and Moshe's family had all the leadership, and he rallied a large-ish group of people around him that were rebelling against Moshe, which is interesting right after they got the Torah. But in the end, they were very, very severely punished, and Aaron and Moshe's ultimate leadership was shown in a nutshell. But now you're saying that You want to put the stamp of cynicism on Korach.
Because I think the whole point of, is this the way the conversation emerged, is because skepticism, I suppose, is just an interesting, you know, topic in and of itself.
Well, actually, I would actually start with skepticism, because in Judaism, especially with Talmudic study, and when we teach in Midrash Rachel, skepticism, a healthy dose of skepticism, is encouraged. You're not supposed to be taking everything that your teacher says at face value. You're supposed to be asking for the sources.
Actually, you could even squeeze that into the parasha. You could squeeze that into Korach.
How so?
Korach asked a question. He said, "We're all holy." Now, putting...
What do you mean, we're all holy?
His claim to Moshe was, "We are all holy. Why are you lording yourself above us?" Without going into his claim specifically, the reaction of the commentators and the reaction of Judaism isn't to look at this story and say, "Don't ask questions." We tackle both his question. We tackle it as, okay, what was the basis for this question? Meaning, the question itself isn't shied away from. Mm-hmm. But it's actually just that this may be going slightly off topic. But this story is actually used to distinguish between two forms of argument. One for the sake of heaven, and Korach is the paradigm of the type of argument that is not for the sake of heaven. Meaning the experience of Korach isn't to, you know, completely shut down arguments.
We actually use it as a springboard to gain knowledge, which is what a skeptic would do, because, I can understand more because of this.
Right, so I suppose we could, putting skepticism aside, but either way, so there's obviously an importance of a good healthy dose of skepticism. But back to cynicism, the reason why a cynic approach is given to Korach is because the Medrash, which is sort of like stories that are added onto the biblical narrative, about what he went to Moshe and made a claim on.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's a very classical story you learn as a child, that he went to, and you learn it as a child on one level. As you get old, obviously, you delve into it slightly deeper. But the claim was that, listen, he goes to him with a jacket full of blue, like a poncho of blue, complete sky blue. And there's this idea that if you have tzitzits, you have to add a blue string to it. And he goes to him, fronts Moshe, and he says, "Listen, Moshe, if I have this sky blue
Garment.
Do I still need a blue thread?" And Moses is like, "Yeah, you kind of do." And a couple of examples like this to try and show that, well, that's clearly stupid. If the point of the sky blue is to remind me of God, which is one of the reasons why there's a sky blue thread, having an entire jacket that's all blue, why would I need this extra reminder on it?
I heard another one. If you have a room that is completely full of Torah scrolls, do you need a mezuzah? And a mezuzah has just a few parts of the Torah. If my whole house is full of it, why should I need a mezuzah? And Moshe says, "You still need a mezuzah," and everybody starts laughing.
Exactly. And I think this might be an indication of at least the modern term of cynicism.
Okay,
because a cynic, as I said, in its ideal state, and I don't want to lose the ideal state of how a cynic acted, meaning even though they acted super bizarre in public, but there was a good message embedded there. They forced people to reframe their reality. They forced people to think differently. But the way we use a cynic now in its worst sense is someone who hyper focuses on one aspect, and through that enlargement of that one aspect can make an entire system look kind of silly.
Yeah, it makes the whole system crumble. And then
how so?
Well, I would think if you wanted to make fun of any government, a government that you believe in, a government that you don't believe in, all you have to do is choose one unfortunate side effect of their decisions, make fun of it, and essentially you would look at that government and you'd be like, why would anybody do that? And you're undoing years and years of thought and work. If I would introduce Shabbos not from the macro as time, a day of rest, a time to fall in God's footsteps and disengage from creative work to make space for him, to make space for...
The foundational principles.
Yeah, the foundational principles. If I would go, am I allowed to separate the good from the bad on my plate? That sounds ridiculous. Like, you don't start with that. You go with that when you've understood the Mishkan.
Cut you there in Rivka's description of Shabbos.
Exactly. Like, do I have to? Can I get rid of my watermelon pits before I eat it? I mean, nobody would start like that, because you're literally taking Shabbos and you're
amplifying.
You're amplifying the stuff that's anyway hard to swallow, and you're disregarding all the stuff that would get you there.
Beautiful. I like that. It disregards the journey that takes us there. Okay, so that means there's probably obviously other areas that you could focus
on. Anything. Think about making fun of a teacher. Think about making fun of a... You can make fun of it. It's making fun. That's what you're doing.
Okay, so let's recap the point we were making. We've got cynicism and skepticism. Skepticism, we're using this as a bit of a platform to say the importance of skepticism in any sort of, especially in today's day and age, where the world is kind of based off a more skeptical outlook. Remember, skepticism gave us the scientific revolution. Skepticism gave us the advancements that we have today, meaning people who didn't take things for granted.
Right.
I mean, if we'd have taken Aristotle for granted, we'd still be.
Then again, we are still grateful to Aristotle. We're not cynical about Aristotle.
Ah,
but now
beautiful.
We're getting on to to cynicism is when you disregard
the foundation of where you came from.
Because of one aspect that you don't appreciate.
Can I do the example of Aristotle, meaning Aristotle was clearly a revolving genius. There was probably no one like him in history. And if we described his science today, that when I drop an apple on some level, the essence of the apple desires, one of the aspects of the apple has a desire to get to the center of reality.
Of course.
And it doesn't fall because it falls. It falls because it's striving to get there to live out its telos, to live out its potential. We'd think he's absolutely barking like crazy, but that was based off a deeper philosophy.
Right.
And anyway, sorry.
If you want to start with Freud, I mean, that's the same thing. He gave us psychology, but nobody studies. You study about Freud, you don't study Freud.
But the things we've taken from Freud are like foundational now.
Exactly.
Right, so back to Koyach.
Yeah.
So Koyach was the populist. And how do you rowl a people? You rowl a people through hyper focusing on one aspect.
Hyperbole as well. You use the words that are not nuanced. You use the words that mean everything or nothing. We are all holy. Hey, yeah, we are all holy. Moshe's the only one who has clout. Hey, Moshe's the only one who has clout.
Speaking
that's
of,
not
that's
fair.
That's a separate point, or is it connected?
I think it is a connected point because of its underlying foundations. Is that if you're a skeptic, you consider yourself a bit of a skeptic, Simi. What drives you? You're learning something or you're being skeptical about it. What's the motivation?
Truth,
right? I want truth. And I'm going to be obnoxious about it until I find it. Fine. If you're cynical, or if you're trying to get someone else to be cynical, what drives you? Not necessarily truth, because like you said in the beginning, they're not necessarily looking for answers. What drives you?
Power.
Power, or if you're a follower, I would say fear. Because if I'm a follower to you, and you can get me to be scared of the government, scared of the authority, I will be cynical. I will just say you're all bad, and prove me that you've got something good to say.
So you're intertwining skepticism and cynicism?
No. I'm just talking about cynicism right now. If I am fearful, and you can play on that fear, like many leaders have done, with a good amount of hyperbole and a good amount of, you know, good jokes and whatever, you can get me to be quite cynical. Not skeptical. I'm not looking for the truth. I'm just trying to show you that you're wrong. I'm cynical. But it's coming from a place of fear, I would think.
So you're saying unhealthy cynicism comes from a place of fear.
Or like you said.
A desire for power.
The desire for power. I think from a leader's point of view, it's a desire for power. But I think
draws out the cynicism in other people through their fear.
I think so.
Because you actually see that. You see the followers of a demagogue, they just use the slogans.
Yeah. If you have a leader that can explain his plan, his long-term plan, his short-term plan, with his followers, then he might have a very strong plan, even a revolution. And the followers might say, listen, I've done my research. I think he's right. I'm going to follow him. But if he just has all the right slogans and he's playing on the fear and he's just cynical about everything that's going on.
Tear down everything else.
Tear it all down. Then I would say he's playing on the fear of the followers. And I think that's what happened with Korach. Korach didn't sit there and be like, okay, we're going to set up a different Har Sinai and we're going to do it differently. No, he was just bashing Moshe and making fun of him.
Nice.
Yeah.
That works.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for listening.
Have a great week.